Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like to for you to turn with me. I got a new Bible and won't hardly stay open. I finally broke down and I liked the paper, so I went and bought a new Bible. Somebody said, "Won't you use your phone?" And I said, "My phone's old fashioned." We're going to be reading from the book of the Exodus out of Egypt, beginning a 40-year trek into the promised land. And I like to say that leaving Egypt in their great exodus, they were actually would be like leaving a baby, leaving the womb of the mother. They were under that protection, even though that they had the taskmasters and they always knew that they were always secure there. They had Goshen, and they were there. We kind of like to think that every day the Hebrews got up and were beat till they could not move, and then made work, and then given a little bit to eat, and going to bed, and getting up the next day. But they really had security in knowing they were there. And then all of a sudden, they were taken out of that. And believe it or not, it was they had been praying for it, but it had not happened. And so it was kind of like, I believe, but yet I don't know. And are you with me? How many of you ever prayed for something and it did not happen immediately? So therefore, you kind of put it on the back burner. But yet you believed. Yet you believed. This went on for 400 years. 400 years, they prayed. And remember, Joseph said hundreds of years prior to that, he said, you know, "I know that God will surely visit you. And when he does, he'll deliver you. And when he delivers you, I want you to take an oath and swear that you will take my bones with you, for there'll be no remembrance of me here." Sometimes we like to hang on to the womb. Sometimes we like to stay in the cocoon of the womb, and we get comfortable there. And once you get comfortable, you can't move where God wants you to move. My message this morning, and I want to challenge you to go with me, and let's try to get to that spiritual place that God is taking us this morning. God's speaking to his people. I believe that even through the perilous times and the trials and the things that we're going through today, God is still speaking to his people. And he's speaking to us for a purpose and for a reason. I go back and I read all through the Word of God, and I find that when God spoke to his people, he was directing them and trying to take them to a place that they have not yet been. God has a place for you that you've not yet been. God has a blessing for you that you've not yet received. God has something for you, but you're going to have to move from where you be willing to move from where you are now to where God wants to take you. It's a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual journey, and you've got to be willing to move. And I want to just challenge you this morning. Are you willing to get out of the cocoon? Are you willing to get out of the womb? Are you willing to come out of Egypt? How many of you know that some Hebrews stayed in Egypt? Some Hebrews stayed in Egypt, and some Egyptians went with the Hebrews. So you're going to have to be willing to move when God. So if you would turn with me to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. We're going to begin reading with this old burning bush. I love to teach on this. There's so many rabbit trails and avenues that you can go from this one little passage of Scripture. And so we're going to read beginning with the first verse in the third chapter of the book of the Exodus. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. I just love the way, how many of you know who wrote this book? Moses. I just love the way he portrayed himself sometimes, and at other times he made himself seem so human. I mean, let me assure you, you're walking along in a desert. It wasn't really unusual to see a fire, a bush on fire, but what would be unusual if the thing just kept on burning and it wasn't burnt out? Now, let me assure you, Moses wasn't just walking along and casually said, you know, I think I'll go over and see this great sight. He had seen something that he had not seen before. No one had ever seen this. This bush just continually burned. And so he said, I want to go over and see it. And then again, we find that Moses was very human. Like when God asked him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, throw it down. He threw it down, and it turned into a snake. And God said, reach down, pick it up. Take it by the tail and pick it up. And Moses is thinking, man, why did I get into this conversation with God? I don't want to reach down and pick up that snake. But he was so human. And then, you know what the Bible said when it turned into, he ran. He's my kind of man. I mean, you know, he is. Let me tell you, anybody reach down and pick up a snake, he better know that God is speaking to him. Amen. But what says, Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. What's this? When God saw that he had turned aside to look, in other words, when God knew that he had Moses' attention. How many of you know a lot of times, we don't hear from God, or we think God's not speaking to us because he doesn't have our attention. We got our minds on so many different things, and we just here there for a moment, and then we're gone again. I believe that if you and I ever want to move to that place that God's trying to take us, we're going to have to give him our attention. We're going to have to let him. We're going to have to desire him to speak to us and be listening for him to speak to us. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside, that he had his attention, he called and called him by name. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I always like to add, and the Termites. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for the word, and ask you to minister to us. And we do open our hearts to you and ask you to just touch us and take us to that place, or give us a starting place, oh God, that we can begin to walk, because we know that every great journey starts with one small step. And we just pray, Father, that you will just bless us, that we'll be able to walk in the way that you would have us to walk and go where you would have us to go, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Amen. The bush was not consumed. It did not burn up. The bush didn't burn out. It just kept burning and kept burning. And as I begin to pray about life in general and things going on in the world today, I believe if there ever was a time that the church needs something that will not burn out, it's now. It is now. When we look back over history, how history has impacted this world, and we've seen a lot of things happen. The 60s was one of those times that God spoke to his people in many different ways. And I found when God begins to speak to his people, the enemy will always send a hindrance. He will always send a hindrance. And I believe that there came that time in the early 60s when the first Catholic was elected president in the United States. Never before had a Catholic served in that position. And he was elected, and he was beginning to speak the oracles of freedom. And God began to bless it. And as he spoke freedom and things that we had not heard, that the people of that time had not heard before, God began to bless, and the enemy came and he took him out. And then in the late 60s, there was a man called the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King who took up that mantle and began to speak greater things and began to give us revelation into the future. And he had a dream, and that dream was where all peoples, no matter what color, no matter what age, no matter how big they were, no matter how little they were, no matter how much money they had or how much money they did not have, would be equal, and white children and black children and children of all colors would be able to play on in the same playground, be able to drink out of the same fountains and go to the same restrooms. He had a dream, and the enemy come along and tried to snuff that out. And I want to tell you this morning that these great men, and we could go through the 70s and the 80s, the 90s and the earlys, and we can talk about 9/11, 2000. Things have happened, and God began to speak to his people, and the enemy tried to stop it. But I want you to know all of these men that gave themselves for the purpose that God had called them for, they may have killed them, but they could not kill their dream. Yes. They could not kill their purpose. And so you and I have a purpose, and God has called us, and he's speaking to us, and he wants you and I to become that person that we can be, to go to that place that we've never been and have feelings like we never had. You know, it's easy to discipline yourself to accept things, but when God changes your heart and you're doing it not through discipline, but because that is your heart, then God can take you to that place that you've never been before. I don't know about you, but I can just get excited to know that my God is so great that he can even change my attitude.
Amen.
I just can't hardly, you know, it's so far beyond me that I can understand anyone discipline themselves. I know some very disciplined people. I know people that run a routine. I don't care what day it is. You know exactly what they're doing. And they're so disciplined. They could probably tell you what shirt they're going to wear 7 weeks from 3 days from now. You know, they're just so disciplined in what you'd say, well, that's just being organized. No, this goes further than being organized. They're just so disciplined. But you can discipline yourself to do most anything. But when God changes your heart, when God comes in and moves on your heart, that's when the church becomes alive. That's when it's a rhema church. That's when it's a living church. And once the church becomes living, then the Word of God can live through the church. I would love to see us get to that place that you and I are that element in the Word of God that brings life to it. We are the one element that brings life to the Word of God. You and I are that element. The bush was not consumed, and it did not burn out. And I believe that one day we're going to see that bush is still burning. I believe that God is a memorial God. Don't you remember he said, do this as a memorial. Do that as a memorial. He is a memorial God. And so when we remember things, it's a memorial. And I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to have maybe a memorial. How many of you know that memorials are important?
Yes, they are.
I was asked one time, how many memorials are there in Washington, D.C.? I have no idea, but everywhere you go, there's a memorial. There's a memorial somewhere of this event or that event. But I believe that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to, and God's going to say, hey, you see that bush? It's still burning, brother. It's still burning. I believe there's a burning bush on the inside of every one of us. I believe that the church is aflamed with the power of God, and there's a burning bush on the each side, and it's a spectacular thing. And if we will allow that bush to burn and allow that bush to do what God created that bush to do, we will actually have people stop and look at it. Come on, we're trying to attract the world. We're trying to do everything we can to bring the unsaved into the church and to minister to the unsaved. We're trying to attract the world. And I say, why don't we just try getting on fire?
Hallelujah.
Everything else has failed. Let's just try getting on fire for God. We don't have to be a spectacle to each other. We just need to be on fire for God, and we'll become a spectacle to the world. We'll be where God has called us to be. The anointing will be there. And the bush never burned out. The bush never burned out. I kind of look at the burning bush as a symbol of the power of God and the love of God and the grace and the mercy that is extended to those who have accepted Him. I believe that burning bush is kind of like Aaron's rod in the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is. They have several speculations of where it was, but I guarantee you it's somewhere. And I believe that one day when it is revealed and it's brought to light, and they open it up, it's going to be hard to see anything in there because of the budding rod. The rod is still budding. Aaron's budding rod is in that Ark of the Covenant, and I believe it's still budding, and I believe that the bush is still burning. And all I want you to do is get in that place today that God has called you to be, and if you will, you will catch on fire. You will be aflamed with the Word of God, and you will continue to burn, and you will never, ever burn out. Look at somebody and say, you don't need to burn out. Burnout's bad. Tell them, burnout's bad. You don't need to burn out. You need to allow the power of God to be aflamed in you and let it just rise up and overcome every obstacle that you have to face. I love that God always meets us where we are, but He talks to us about where we're going.
Hallelujah.
He meets us where we are, but He talks to us about where we're going. Thank God He meets us where we are. Thank God that He met me where I was, even though that I was in a bar room. Thank God He still spoke to my heart. Thank God that He met me right where I was, but He began to talk to me about where I was going. You know, the moment the Lord just laid His word on my heart, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's not all that important, but letting you know that God will meet you where you are. You may think you are so far down that God won't go where you are, but I was sitting on that bar stool, and I just happened to look into that mirror, and that was they had mirrors behind bars, and I looked in that, and there I was sitting there. And the Lord spoke into my spirit immediately. He said, you have no business here. You have no business here. And I said, well, you know, I'm all right. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And I'm thinking, I need to get out of here where I can finish this conversation. And I remember walking outside, and the next thing I know, I go, and I'm in my office, and I give my heart to the Lord Jesus. Listen, what I want you to hear in this is, I don't care how far down you are and how many things you're facing and everything you've done, God will meet you right where you are. And once He meets you, He's going to take you by the hand. He's going to gently lead you out of that place, and He's going to put you into a place that He can talk to you friend to friend and be able to minister to you, God to His people and people to their God. When that curtain was rent from the top to the bottom and people got to look in and see things they had never seen before, and it told us that we have access to God at any time. We can go in and talk to Him and let Him minister to us. And even more than that, we can minister to Him. We can minister to Him. So God will meet you where you are, but He's going to talk to you about where you're going. In 2 Kings, he spoke to Elijah in the 19th chapter. And he was in this cave and he met him right where he was at. But he started talking to him about what I want you to do. I love this story. It's a great story. It reminds me a lot of me and you. He was in this cave hiding because Jezebel had threatened him. And I love what God said to him the first thing. He said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What happened to you 3 days ago? You're calling down fire from heaven, you coward. What happened? What happened in these few days that you were calling fire down from heaven and it licking up the sacrifice on the altar, and now you're hiding. You are hiding. He said, what are you doing here? God met him right where he was at, and he began to speak to him about where he was at, but then he began to give him instruction. He said, I want you to go toward Damascus, and when you do, I got a job for you to do. Listen, church, I want you to know that God will meet you wherever you are, but get ready. He wants to take you to another place.
Hallelujah.
How many of you ever stopped to think that you are where you are? You don't need any help getting there.
That's true.
You're already there. If you want to stay where you are, you're already there. You don't need any help getting anywhere else. But if you want to go to that place that God wants to take you, you're going to have to be willing to go.
Amen.
You're going to have to be willing to say, I want to get up out of this place that I am now. And some of us are in good place, sure, but this is not as good as it's going to be. I'm not under that impression and that belief that that earth is going to get better and better and better until one day we're going to have heaven on earth. No, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is going to pierce the sky and is going to call the church out, and the bride and the elect of God is going to be lifted up and live forevermore with God, and we will not be just getting better and better here on this earth. Can't get that good. Cannot get that good. I've had some good time. I've had some great time. And I've had some lean time. But I know that when we get to that place that God is speaking to us and we're willing to go to the place that He has for us, then we're going to live a lot better. This is a spiritual journey. Church, this is a spiritual journey. We're talking spiritual things. And I believe that the more people see of you, the less they're going to see of Jesus Christ. That's the reason Paul declared that we're going to have to die to self. We can't be letting ourself be seen. We're going to have to die to self in order to do what God has called us to do. This spiritual journey is a great journey. And I believe that once we are willing to move from where we are now, God will begin to reveal the future to us. He'll begin to reveal the way to us, and we'll be able to go. How many of you know that God knows where you are, but He doesn't see you where you are?
Amen.
God doesn't see you where you are. He doesn't even really see you. He sees Himself in you.
That's right.
He sees Himself in you. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. God wants you to see here. He knows who we are, but He doesn't see us as we see ourselves. He doesn't see us the way people see us. He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, which cleanses us and purifies us and takes away all the sins of the world. And He sees us that way. Listen, you may not believe this, but when God sees you, He sees His perfect creation. Come on, church. You've got to be able to get to that place, or you're going to always be the redheaded stepchild. You've got to get to that place that God sees you differently. He doesn't see all of the junk that you've waded in. Listen, when you wade through stuff, it sticks to you. And we used to have what we call, when we walked through the woods, beggar lice. Anybody knows what beggar lice is? Little things that stick to your pants when you're walking through the woods. That bigger life. And that's the way we think our lives are. Listen, when we get through with life, there's not going to be none of that on us.
Glory.
I mean, we've walked through all kinds of stuff and it stuck to us. But God doesn't see that because he has cleansed us and purified us and caused us to be as he is. We got to grow up into Christ Jesus. We got to grow up into him. We don't need to grow up and be like him. We got to just grow up and be him. Because we are heirs and we are joint heirs to the kingdom of God. But we are on a spiritual journey and right now we're in the flesh. And as long as the flesh is bigger than the spirit, we're going to see more flesh. But once the spirit overcomes the flesh, you know, in order for you to live for Christ, you have got to die to self. God did not see Saul where he was. He met him where he was, but he didn't see him there. Listen, I love this. I'm telling you, God will meet you where you are. And God met Saul where he was on the road to Damascus. And when he spoke to him, he talked to him about things he was going to do. Are you with me? I mean, read that book and you'll find that this thing all comes together. And some people just get into a place in life that they're willing to just stay right there. They're willing to accept that this is okay. I'm doing all right. Listen, you don't need to just do all right. God has something better for you. Oh, listen, I've learned that when I'm doing all right, I don't pray as much. Come on. When everything's going good, I don't pray as much as I do when all hell is breaking loose. I don't, you know, but you let things begin to go awry. You let things, everything I touch turn to, you look at it and you see how, if God doesn't move, I'm going on, I don't know what I don't, you know what you're going to be, oh God, help me Jesus. Oh God, help me Jesus, help me Jesus, help me Jesus. You know, I've been in hospital rooms with people that their families I'd pastored them for many, many years, and I'd go into a hospital room, and it's been more than one time. And let me tell you something. I've never been into a dying man's room where he said, you know, I sure would like to have a new truck. I'd like to have this or I'd like to have that. All of that physical, natural stuff begins to pass away and you begin to see what's really important. You begin to see that thing. You know, I know this may sound a little crazy to you, but people can believe what they want to believe. And I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I will tell you this. There's only one God, and he's God of the whole earth. He's God. He's God. He's God. He always has been. He always will be. And when he came into this world, he didn't come by another man or with the help of anyone. He came with himself, and he impregnated a virgin woman, and he come through this virgin woman, and he became God on earth. He became incarnate man. He became man. And I believe that you and I need to recognize the fact that God has caused us to be greater than what we're being. We're just not willing to go there. We've got to get to that place that we can put everything down and start going in that direction that God has called us to be. I want you to hear me this morning. You are greater than what you think you are. You have more than what you think you have. It just hasn't been made manifest to you yet. We've got to get to that place that God is going to minister to us in a way that we know who he is. And there was Saul. Saul was on the road to Damascus doing what he had always done. And then God spoke to him. Oh, listen, when God begins to speak, things begin to happen. He met Paul where he was, but he saw him where he was going to take him. See, God did not see Saul where he was. He met him there, but he saw him where he was going to take him. In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, we find this conversion experience of Saul. And Jesus said, told him to go into the city and go to this street, the street called Straight. And I think it's phenomenal. But he goes to this street called Straight, and he was to meet a man there named Ananias. And God spoke to Ananias before Saul got there. Look, God will pave the way for you. And when God tells you to go meet someone, he's going to speak to them that when you get there, they're not going to be, huh?
Right.
Are you with me? Right. It's just like I tell everybody, if I go somewhere, and listen, I believe in prophetic word. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe that there's prophecy, and I believe that there's even apostles in the world today. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe God's active, and I believe that we ought to be practicing this thing. I believe in laying on hands and anointing with oil. I believe in casting out devils. I believe that God's still God. I believe that the more we put this down and say it's not real, or say I don't know that I believe in it, the greater hold, foothold the enemy has in the church. And it's time the church wake up and get on fire and declare that God is still God, regardless of what the whole world says. And he's God, and he's able to do it. I've been ministering in these rooms, and when people were dying, and of all the times, and been many, many, many over the past 45 years, I've ministered to a lot of people dying. I've buried a lot of people. I've yet to have one say, help me Muhammad. Help me Buddha. But boy, when they get next to death, help me Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I'm telling you, to heck with Buddha. To heck with Muhammad. I need Jesus right now.
Amen.
I need somebody that's overcome where I'm about to go. Come on, come on. He had overcome it. He said, as I've overcome, you shall overcome. And they know that Jesus Christ overcome the death and the grave, and they wanted to call on somebody that had already experienced what they're about to experience. And they didn't know about Muhammad, and they didn't know about Buddha, and they didn't know about all of these other. But one thing they do know, they know about Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected, and sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of the I'm tired of the fake, and I'm tired of being so dadgum politically correct that we've lost Jesus Christ. I don't want to talk about some stuff, but sometimes you just feel like the Lord wants. I believe that, you know, we're going to have to wake up and see the world that we're living in. And we got to know that God is not pleased with the way the world is going. And we've got to put a stop to it.
Amen.
Listen, it's not going to get any better till us Christians band together by the power of God and under the preface of the name of Jesus Christ and declare what is right and what is wrong. God will honor right, and God will curse what is wrong, and we got to stand up to it. We got to stand up to it, and they can say what they want to say, and they can do what they want to do, but we got to know that God is still in control of the whole earth, and we got to know that if we will listen to him, he will speak to us, and he will declare truth unto us.
I just, listen,
you know, they can say that the new movement is gay. The new movement is not gay. There's no new movement. There's no new movement. Let's move on back to Abraham journeying, and we'll see there is no new movement. And Lot separated from him, and he went to Sodom, to the region of Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was so beautiful and lush, and he went to that area. But the men of that city were wicked men, and they had defiled the naturalness of a woman, and they had went with men with men and women with women. And they had defiled what God had made. And God sent this hellfire and brimstone and knocked out the twin cities. You remember that story? I don't have to go into all that to you. He destroyed those two cities because of the two angels that came. And they said, look, just send us the men. We want the men. Send the men out to us. We want those two men. We saw them and we desire them. When you go back and read the original manuscript, they said, we desire them. We desire them. And Lot said, no. You take my virgin daughters. Don't take the. He knew who those men were.
Yep.
No. Don't you touch them. Don't take my daughters. They didn't want the daughter. And God sent this hellfire and brimstone and destroyed those cities. I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anyone when I say it, but if America doesn't change, and if we don't get people representing us that love God and fear God, and the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom according to his word, and if we don't get people that fear God and want to have God control our nation, then God is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, he will. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Stand up. Listen, when we get to that place that we can no longer recognize wrong, we can't do right. If you can't recognize wrong, you cannot do right. And God's going to bless them that doeth right. Right living. Righteousness. Right living. Listen. God will meet you where you are. But when he does, please be willing to go where he wants to take you. God has a place to take you you've not been. God has a place to take you you've not been. Listen, you've sat around and let the enemy determine how much you're going to be blessed. You've let the government determine how you're to live. Thank God we're praying people. I don't need the government to tell me how to live. I know how to live. Do I always do it? I try to, but sometimes I don't. But watch this. I guarantee you, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say, but I believe that if we begin to pray, God will speak to us even today and tell us what he wants us to do.